I want to apologise. It's rather chilly in here. We have a problem with our heating, which is not unusual, but we're waiting for the people to fix it. So I apologise for it being so chilly. But on a cheerier note, if you look around, we've got some lovely decorations up and our Christmas trees up. So thank you to Catherine, Vanessa and the team for all that they do to make the church look lovely for Christmas. Thank you. The song was saying, "Come, Lord Jesus," and that you're coming soon. And he is. We've only got to look at what the Bible teaches us about the world and how the days will be. And we can see, you know, there's wars, there's rumours of wars, there's children, disobedient children, and also disobedient adults, and just people far from God. And so it's really hard, but also if we read our scripture, it's easy to see that God is warning us about these things, and we're not to be worried about them, because Jesus has all authority and power and control over everything. So whatever you're going through, trust God to help you through. And we're now going to get into God's word, and I'm going to ask Dorcas, she come and do the reading today.
Good morning. Our scripture today is from Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Second scripture is John 3, verses 5 to 7. Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless you are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." Third scripture is 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 to 17. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That's the scripture today. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorcas. Andrew's going to bring us God's word this morning. Shall I just pray with you, Andrew? Now, Father, we thank you for Andrew and his ministry. We pray your blessing on him and your encouragement through his word to us today. May you help us to have ears to hear you speak to us, and eyes and hearts ready to look and see and taste your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
So Advent is about the coming of Christ. But when I was looking through the dictionary, Advent wasn't just about the first coming of Christ. Advent, from the Latin word, means the coming or arrival. It can be used for the start of any perceived event in religious context. So it isn't just about the coming of Christ, it's any religious context. So if we go back in history, we can see that the Jews in captivity in Egypt were waiting for their release to come back into the promised land. They was in their time of Advent, looking forward. Many times, of course, the Jews in captivity were always then looking forward to their Advent. Isaiah, some 701 BC, so many years before Christ came, was looking forward to that time of their Advent, of the coming of Christ. And of course, the Jews at that point, or you know, at the time of Christ coming, was looking for that Advent, for the release from captivity or imprisonment in a way, from the Romans. They'd missed the point of what Advent was really about, of what Christ was coming to do. But what about ourselves? Do we always think about Advent as being a time of baby Jesus coming? Do we always think about Advent of Jesus as a baby? You know, how would we feel, how would you feel, if every time you came to your birthday, somebody said, ah, I remember you as a baby. And here's a gift, a little rattle. Yeah. How would we feel? We'd rather be thought of as being, yes, your birthday, and here's a gift that's suitable for you at your age. What about with Jesus? Do we always put him back in that little manger? Or should we be saying, Lord, we thank you, and we look to you and give you a gift that is suitable for you at the age you are? What age is he? He's always existed and will always exist. He's eternal. But we can think of him from the time that he came as a baby, over 2,000 years ago now, 2,000, and according to the sort of workings out of when the actual birth took place, more like 2031 years ago. So it's pretty old in that sense. Do we give him the glory that he needs? Do we give him what he's looking for at this time? But as I say, Advent is about any particular religious event coming. We could look at it and say, well, what about your personal Advent? What about the personal Advent for others? You know, we've all, when we come to Christ, to know Christ, we had, if you like, an Advent. When we're praying for our loved ones, our friends, family, neighbours, are we not looking for their Advent in their life, of them coming to Christ? Sue mentioned about the Advent of Christ's return. Is that not an Advent that is to come? Is that not the main Advent that we're to look for? One day, as it says there in Thessalonians, one day Jesus is going to come. Not to put his feet on the earth, but come in the clouds to call his church up to be with him. That is, surely that is the next Advent that we're looking for. Our Advent for the church. Yes, Jesus is going to come one day after that and put his feet on the earth. Yes, he's going to come with the advent of the last judgment. He will be dividing the sheep from the goats. He will be dividing those who end up in the place we don't want to know about, but in hell, for their eternal punishment. And for those of us who are in Christ, we'll be in eternal bliss. We'll be spending that time eternally with Christ. But at this moment in time, should we be not looking more towards the advent of when Christ comes? When he says, I've come for my bride. I've come for my church, who is the bride. Should we be not looking to say, where is the bridegroom? Yeah, it's good to remember the baby Jesus. It's good to remind us of the past. But how much better to look towards the future and say, the advent, we're still in that period of advent all the time until Christ takes his bride. That is the main advent that I think believe that we should be looking for. Looking to the future, not to the past. Let's look forward and keep looking forward. I'm trying to see the clock, make sure we're keeping time, because obviously, you know, we are short of time today. But so on that, because of the time, I think I'll cut the the address there. And so, yeah, let's look forward to the time of Christ's second coming, to when he comes for us. So maybe then just have a moment in prayer. Yeah, Father, we thank you that we can look forward to you returning, coming to us. We have that hope, but we also have a peace and a joy and a love in that knowledge that you are eternal and that you have us in the palm of your hands. But Lord, we also look to you for the advent of our loved ones, of our friends and our families, of those that haven't yet come into knowledge of yourself. Lord, we look to you for their advent, for that day that they come into your kingdom. And so, yes, Lord, we just continue to look to you. So, Lord, help us to be ready and prepared for the day that you do come and claim your bride. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.